This is J6WY, November 6, Whiskey Yankee, K8BCW. K8BCW, this is J6WY.
Hey, good morning. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing fine. It's a nice, beautiful day out there, and I'm doing my morning stretches. Just got up, but I plan to do some work on my new radio, 890. Seems to not be working. I'm talking to you on the 878 right now.
Back to the old workhorse, huh?
I'm glad I have a radio to know what's working and what's not. In fact, I got an old Itera and also a Lincoln DMR radio that I use as a test standard. And I'm sorry to say the 890 is not working like it should be.
I don't know anything about that particular radio, but, man, it sounds like chasing gremlins. No fun.
Well, the reason why I bought it is the NXDN kind of appealed to me. And I thought, wow, here's a dual-mode digital radio. And it also has FM. And I get to play with NXDN, and plus have another radio for DMR. But it's not working out. I have not made a contact on NXDN, not because it's not working. I haven't even tried. I'm trying to get DMR to work.
Yeah, it's probably some obscure setting that's buried somewhere that you have to hunt for. It's one of the things I don't like about DMR. There's about a million places where you can have something wrong in your code plug. And you just have to experiment to find it and fix it, and then hopefully you don't screw something else up in the process.
K-I-A-D.
Well, I went over and over the code plug and all the settings, and you're right, there's a lot of places you can go wrong. And, gosh, but, you know, it's not that I'm in it. Well, I am an amateur as far as DMR goes, but I even bought the RT Systems software for it. That's an interesting way to program DMR radios. I'm not sure it has any value added over the free version of the code plug, but it's just a different way of looking at it, and it has some advantages.
Yeah, it is.
Go ahead, other station.
Let's see if I got it. Yeah, if you need some help with that 890, I'd be glad to help you. I'm talking to you from an 890 right now. The name is Rotten. I'm in Howell area. Well, actually, I'm in my car, but I'm from Howell. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that I do need some help. I don't want to hold up the repeater right now. And I just got out, so I need to get moving too. But if I catch you on later, I will definitely. Let me just ask, are you having any trouble with the 890 in terms of holding a repeater, not going into receive mode, even though you're holding down on the push to talk, and also connecting to hotspots, do you get a decent BER? You know, I can't get a decent BER on any of my hotspots. I didn't catch a call, but go ahead and howl.
No, I have no trouble whatsoever. I've had it since January, and I've used it on NXDN, I've used it on DMR, and I have it working with about half a dozen of my hotspots. It works. I have it on an 878 too, and it works as good or better than my 878 by far. But there are some trickery things you got to do. And yeah, if you look me up in the QRZ, you got my email, just send me an email, and then I'll give you some tips and things like that. I've helped numerous people with them already. So my call is Kilowatt India 8 Alpha, K-I-8-A.
Okay, K-I-8-A, this is N6WY. Well, I'm going to say 73 this time around, turn it back to the station, which stood by for us. And I'll give you an email later and see what you have to say. So this is N6WY. I forgot to, I think it's BCW. Back to BCW.
Yeah, I got to run myself, but 73's gentlemen, and thanks, other station, for
dropping in and offering the help. That's one of the nice things about this network. There's a lot of really great folks out there that are willing to jump in. This is K8DCW.
Great. Well, K73, both you gentlemen. I look forward to your email. There's some little things that are subtle things that make a difference in these things working. So you guys have a great day. This is KIA-73.
Okay, thanks again to everybody. KIA-8A, I will send you an email later today. This is N6WY.
K8ECW, testing hotspot on the MI5.
Good morning, Bentley. It's Tim down in Macomb County, N8WRO. You are sounding good, sir.
Hey, Tim. Thanks for the call back. Appreciate that. Had an obscure setting in my radio that I had changed, and actually in my hotspot, and just confirmed that I fixed it. So thank you for that. How have you been?
Well, we're doing quite good down here. We're just planning for the set on Saturday, and we got the scoring key. So we're trying to parse it out there and make sure that we're covering all our bases. I really do enjoy that. It's kind of fun stuff. N8WRO, K8DCW, still there? Did I miss the last, maybe?
Yeah, just fumbling with my PTT. So I missed what you said that you're preparing for on Saturday. Say that again.
Yes, sir. It's the statewide exercise, the spring set, state emergency training exercise. And we're planning for it down here. That's going to be fun. We really enjoy doing that. They do a spring one and then a fall one. And, you know, just go out and get dispatched to certain areas. And, of course, we don't I'm going to be in the field. So despite being in leadership, I don't know the full story. But they also score it, too. So we got the new scoring sheet. And we got to hit all line items on the set, you know, a certain amount of wind link messages and, you know, doing wind link messages from different locations. It's quite interesting. I do like it.
Oh, that's cool. Thanks for your service to your community there. Is there activity to listen in on the network, one of the other talk groups that you guys will be on, or is that more just for the participants?
Well, you probably could listen to our county on Broadcastify. We'll be on 147.2 Macomb County. But your county should be doing it, too. It should be a statewide thing. And all hams are welcome to join. You don't have to be a member of ARPSC to join on set. You can just check in, and they'll give you some tasks to do and, you know, in your mobile. And for those that can't be mobile, they'll even take a home check-in if there is some disability issues there. But, I recommend it if you haven't done it before. Check with your county, see if they're participating, because it is kind of fun. It's usually like about maybe 8 a.m. to 12, then they have a hot wash afterwards. It's quite fun.
Well, I've started getting a little bit involved in our local county emergency management group. But you know what? Now that I think about it, I may have not paid much attention to what might be going on this weekend because I'm going to be traveling out of the state, so that might be the reason. But, yeah, we've got some things going on up here. There's going to be a joint exercise with the Michigan National Guard coming up this summer, which sounds like it might be kind of fun. They'll be doing some, I guess, drone hunting and fox hunting and spotting and things like that. So that might be kind of cool to do. But, neat stuff that's going on with all this stuff. I did check in yesterday on the FEMA Region 5 net and check in on both DSTAR and DMR.
N8WRO. Well, that's nice. You are active up there. So you're in Emmett County, I believe, if I got that right. And, last night I normally check in on the state ARPSC net. It's an HF net that is broadcasted locally, VHF, UHF as well. But the conditions last night, they were just pretty bad. So I didn't check in. But, it's fun stuff. I do enjoy doing it.
Yeah, you are correct. I'm in Emmett County. Kudos to you and your geographical knowledge of the state.
Most people don't know where Emmett County is. Our emergency management team is partnered up with Charlevoix and Sheboygan as well. So they cooperate these exercises. And then all the comms for the emergency services. The local linked repeater system on UHF and VHF is managed by a couple of guys that are deep into the technical side of the emergency management group. So I've been getting to know those guys from working the local repeater network up here on analog, and they encourage me to get involved a little bit more on the emergency management team. So, yeah, I'm dipping my toe in the water on that, but I'm still working a regular job, so it's just a matter of time. And I also work in the local North Country Trail Association chapter, and spring is a busy time for us. I'll be running my saw on the trail quite a bit. I did some of that last week, and there's plenty more to do. So time is a commodity.
Yes, sir. There are only so many hours in the day and in the week, and especially for you guys who are still on the job. I'm fortunate enough to be retired now, so I can kind of go all in on this a little bit more. But, we appreciate it. We got a couple of members like you're talking about, the techie types. And, of course, they're taking care of our network and region. We appreciate their help, because without them, how are we going to do it? You know, new for this time, we have our VHF repeater, and we're going to join it with a UHF network that's down here in Macomb County. And that's going to be interesting. So I don't know if the proper term is simulcasting, but that's what we're going to be doing. So that'll broaden the footprint of people that can participate. It's going to be kind of fun. I'm going to see how that goes.
Yeah, right on. As long as the smart guys keep it working, us will use it, right? But, I have retirement in my near future. I can almost see it to have a little bit more time available to get involved in some more of these things like we just discussed. So, yeah, that'll all be good. But good luck with your exercise this weekend. I hope it's all a success and you guys get the spear sharpened up a little bit more. Like I said, I'll be traveling and heading down to eastern Pennsylvania to backpack in the Allegheny Mountains for a week. So I'm really looking forward to that and clearing my head and hitting that big old reset button for a while.
NAWRO, oh my goodness, that sounds like a great outdoors therapy. I kind of wish I could do that as well. But all right, Bentley, appreciate the QSO as always. KABCW from November 8th, Whiskey Romeo Oscar. You have safe travels on your trip, and we'll talk soon, I'm sure. I'll be listening out.
Always good to catch you, Tim. Have a great week, and look forward to talking to you again soon. K8BCW.
N8BBF.
KF, hey, that's what's going on.
Heading down to my weighing yard, figured I'd see who's out here. Good morning.
Where's the weighing yard? You're talking like Wayne County?
Unfortunately, so about an hour away from my office, which is about an hour and a half away from my house.
Well, that's annoying. Why are they sending you down there, or is it a secret, squirrel?
It's a secret, but I'm setting up an office.
Oh, well, no rest for the weary, I guess. Yeah. Not doing much here. Nothing going on right now, nothing in the pipe, unfortunately.
Yeah, there's always something going on, but I said they'll be there at 12:30, so it's okay. I'll be there for probably 30, 40 minutes and then head back up north and probably honestly call it a day. At least not go back to the office. So throwing a haircut somewhere in there. I got to text Greg, see if he's around. I couldn't get that amp to work. SWR was like 9-1. No matter what I did, it just was not, my 705 did not like that amp.
Huh. Even if you put a dummy load on the output?
I didn't put a dummy load on the output, but I know it's not my antenna, because if I disconnect the amp and I go straight to my 705, it's like a 1, 12SWR.
So what? So the amp is actually the one telling you the bad SWR?
No, the 705 is. The 705 doesn't want anything to do with anything else. I disconnect the amp. SWR is like now, not doesn't even register at some parts of the 40 meter band. Did I lose you?
I wonder if my last transmission didn't go through. I go, that I was thinking, I'm sure you've tried a different coax between the radio and the amp.
Yes, I tried two different patch cables. Those didn't work. I tried a different 3.5 to 3.5 cable. So I don't know what's going on, but could not get it to work right, and I was afraid to cook my 705, so I'm going to get it back to Greg, and he's going to test it on his stuff. Hopefully it's fine, it works on his stuff, and then he can just sell it all as a package.
Yeah, I wonder if it's just, I doubt it's something special with the Elecraft, but who knows.
I don't think it's a specific, I think it's just a QRP amp. I don't think it's specific to the Elecraft.
I wonder if Greg was running with the bad SWR this whole time, and he just used, like, the tuner built into the Elecraft, and that's how he got his match there. And that, I don't know. I mean, this is really odd.
That's kind of what I was wondering is, because he's got that built-in tuner, like, is that what was fixing the match? And then obviously the 705 doesn't have one, so it's just showing me what it is.
Yeah, because it should be a perfect match between your radio and the amp. Like, there should be nothing you have to do for that. Now, from the amp to your antenna, obviously, that's different.
Right, and I didn't expect it to be, you know, a one-to-one flat match to my antenna, right? But the fact that it was, SWR was off the chart, like that's when I was like, okay, I don't want to mess with this, something's wrong.
Yeah, I would have tried a dummy load just for the sake of trying a dummy load on the other end of the amp, but it sounded like you're just going to give it back to Greg at this point.
Yeah, that's the plan. Rather than risk any damage to my radio or the amp, but you know what, I don't want to test it and ruin it or break something. It's like, I'll give it back to you. You can test it, make sure it's good. But yeah, like you said, I'm curious if he puts it on another radio without a tuner, if he has the same result.
Yeah, I know. I've been lucky with my stuff. It's funny. I tested, you know, that Radiati antenna that I bought. I haven't really tested it myself, but I brought it to that LARC in the park, and Chuck had his radio out, and I just brought the antenna there and hooked it up, and he tried it out, and he got to Israel, so on 15 meter, so I know it's working. That's all I need to know for now. And then I can just hook it up when I'm ready to do it. I don't know. I just got to get my kit together. The battery needs to be recharged is the biggest thing.
That's a resonant antenna, isn't it?
Yeah. There's a little chart in the book. Extend the width this much, extend the radial this much, and, you know, if it doesn't match perfectly, you can adjust. It's usually pretty good. Like when we tried it with Chuck, it was pretty spot on, like maybe like 1.1 or 1.2, but it was like right where it needed to be. So the only thing that would be a deterrent why somebody might not want to use it is if they do a lot of band hopping. Like if you're just going to set up for 20 meter, it's good to go. If you're going to just set it up for, 15 meters, good to go. But if you're planning on doing 20 and 15 and, you know, you're just hopping around, you're still going to probably want the wire.
I'll keep that in mind. My goal this summer, or not this summer, but now that it's nice out and I can go play outside, is that RHM 12 from Diamond that I've got, this little pinning screwdriver. I got to get that thing dialed in. I need to learn how to use it. There's definitely a learning curve to setting that thing up, and allegedly I'm supposed to use elevated radials, and I can't find any good information on, like, specific length, or if I need to worry about the length per band or how many per band, so it's going to take some messing around with to figure that out. I'm hoping I can just throw a big bundle of radials and elevated and be done with it, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I was really hoping that I wasn't going to have to use too many radios, but I think because it's going to be on a tripod and elevated, I'm going to have to.
Yeah, usually you can get away with one radio. That's how that, I had this portable antenna when I first got an HF that I was using. And I was using those fence posts. They're like white plastic fence posts with like a metal thing on the bottom, and they're pretty cheap. You can get them at, you know, in the yard section of a home improvement store or whatever. And so I had like, I had a couple of those, you know, for backup. And that's how I elevated the radio. So the antenna was on a tripod, and it had an elevated radio. I just used the yard, you know, thing to have it off the ground about 3 feet.
Forgot why I bought that, but I bought a couple, and I tried to put it in, I broke it. And I think it was because it was winter time. I think I might have been trying to park the driveway. But I have one more, so I was looking at it the other day, and I was thinking the same thing. I was like, these will probably work good. I'll get, like, three more to hold some radios up.
Yeah, and then you have two ways to tune it. You can tune it by radio length, or you can tune it by the whip length. You know, if you're doing like one, if you have that one whip, just put that one up as high as you possibly can, you know, however long it is. And then the radio, you can tune it with the radio, but it's very finicky. I do remember that it was very, like the one I was using was like really narrow banded, and you really had to get that radio length right, and it really required an SWR meter to kind of dial it in. When I was playing with this Radiodity one, it seemed to be a little bit more wide-banded. So as long as you followed their measurements, like I think it was like the radios were either 200 millimeters long or 300 millimeters long, depending on the band. So all you had to remember is 200 or 300 there. And the radios are marked. You know, they got these little white notches for 100, 200, and 300. And then the whip is not marked, but you can easily mark it with a Sharpie.
So I wish there was some information about my antenna out there, because it's a screwdriver, so it's all marked on the whip. But there's no useful information. Actually, there is. I lied. They have, in the instructions, they show the Diamond Map 50, which is just a ground plane for a vehicle, the magnetic pad, basically. But that's not going to do me any good in the field. I mean, I don't know, maybe, but I was even thinking about getting some of those, like, grounding strap lengths and using those as radials instead, trying to get a better ground field, but I don't know. I'll have to mess with it. Worst case scenario, I'll just chalk it. I'm already thinking that my antenna is going to be way easier. I've got an antenna tuned for 40 to 10, and it's, like, perfectly tuned on 40 and 20, so I'll probably end up just running that and then getting an adapter for my Carbon 6 to sit on my tripod, or I've got a little stake that goes in the ground that holds that. I mean, it's easy as a kid. But I do like the concept of the screwdriver antennas. I think they're sweet. But if I got to set up a bunch of radio stakes and all that, I mean, that's a bit more than I want to deal with versus one antenna that I got to get one mast up and then drag it back to the radio. Did I lose you again?
Three lengths. It needs to be the same length as the whip that you're putting out.
I doubled with you there a little bit, but I didn't get the first part of your transmission.
Yeah, I was just summarizing here. Typically, it just has to be electrically length, the same length as your whip. But that coil kind of, you know, interferes with that length because the coil is adding length that's not, you know, not the same as the whip, obviously.
Right. I almost feel like that's a better antenna setup for a radio with a tuner.
The other thing, too, I found that if you're, like, 15 meter, like, you know, below 17 meter, or whatever, up higher than 17 meter, you know, in frequency, if you start going, like, at 21 megahertz, you can take the coil off. You don't even need the coil at that point. Your whip is probably long enough.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too, is you could probably just run a whip with a tuner at that point. It'll be more convenient and less stuff.
I really think you're still going to need a radio, though, unfortunately. If it's a vertical, you're going to need a radio. But if you have a wire antenna, you know, your X antenna or whatever, then, yeah, that's the whole thing, right?
I always do this with my portable antennas. I always want to try, like, verticals. Think they're super easy and cool, and they are, but then I remember I run QRP, and I don't have a tuner, and then I just go straight back to my wire because it works. Probably what's going to happen with this.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to be the happiest with the wire antenna, I think. It's just, that's just the way it works. But the verticals are convenient. Like, you can set it up freestanding in a parking lot, you know, if you got a tripod. So
that's going to be the only thing that I need to figure out is how do I mount my Carbon 6 to my tripod?
What you need is one of those mounts that are the, I don't know what they call them, the little boot where you drive your car over it, and it basically has a mast, and then your car is the weight so that it stays up.
So I have one of those, too, for my spider beam. So that'll be like, I plan on being there for more than a quick activation.
Yeah, if you're doing a quick activation, you're just going to probably use a ham stick. Just keep that in your, you know, unscrew UHF VHF antenna, get an NF NMO to 3/8 thing, and then you're done.
But don't those need a radial? Like, not on a vehicle, but if I was going to set that, like, say I got a SO239, like, right angle to 3/8, and I was able to mount it on my tripod, don't those need radials then, too? I mean, pretty much any vertical needs a radial to work.
Yeah, or you make, like, a V, an inverted V, get two of them, and figure out, get one of those, like, I think, what's his name, John88OD has got something. You can just screw those into like a V mount, and then you have like a little coax thing on the bottom, and it's like you've got like an inverted V antenna on a tripod.
All right, DBS. Yeah, I need to figure that out. I have a 40 and a 20. If I could figure out a way to mount those somewhere quick and easy, that'd be the way to do it. But then you got to be by the vehicle.
Yeah, I think the best. Best antenna, at least for me, mobile, is to just use that ATAS antenna, which I got to get out of the attic because I never used it this winter. I always use my, my NFED. But I just don't want to go in the attic.
I always forget about that antenna, and I have an 857. And that would be the ticket. Have you? You've used that in the field, right?
Yeah, it works good. I don't think it. I do not. I don't know if it does 6 meter though. It might do. No, it does 6 meter. Yeah, I just couldn't figure out how to get it to work on UHF and VHF. I think maybe it's already just doesn't matter what you extend it to. It just work. It's just the right length or something. But I couldn't get it to like auto tune the. UHF and VHF, or I was having to figure out how to do that, it wasn't really that important to me, but for HF, yeah, I got it working and pressing the tune button on the radio, and it moves it up and down.
Give me 1 sec, I got a call on ADBF.
TFA. I'm going to try this, DM 32. Okay, I'm monitoring myself. Okay, it's working.
Does your DM 32 show up all weird on the dashboard?
It shouldn't. I'm reading my call sign coming through the repeater.
So weird. So, okay, TMR's got a buddy that just got his license. He bought a DM 32. Grab the code plug from ARPSC, put it in, put his call sign in, and that was it. Like, didn't change anything else. And every time he came in through the repeater, his information was right, but, like, the RSSI was in the wrong spot, and the call sign was in the wrong spot. Like, his RSSI would show up in the talk group, and, like, his call sign would show up. It was all jacked up. Like, all the columns were mismatched. So I'm like, man, I don't know. Like, I updated the firmware on it. I tried reprogramming it. Same thing. So then I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it's a bad radio. It's Amazon. Tell them to send a replacement. So he gets a replacement. Same exact thing. So I'm like, okay, is this specific to the DM32 or is it specific to this code plug?
Yeah, I might even want to try just making a blank code plug with just MI5 in it, just before you get invested in it, just to see. But I haven't had any problems with it. Now, I do know that they did change the DMR chip, I guess, in some of the newer ones. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but it just seems weird that two radios would do that. So there's got to be something simple going on.
Yeah, I don't know. I went through the code plug. Everything looked right, and I don't recall. I'm mad at myself because, A, I returned mine, so I couldn't pass, and, B, I deleted my code plug file, so, like, man, I have nothing to go off because I'm pretty sure I used that same code plug from ARPSC, but I'm sure it's something stupid, or, like you said, if it's a new DMR chip, because all the information's right. It's just like it's being transmitted differently than other people's DM32s.
Now the other thing was he wasn't using a hotspot, right? He was going right into the repeater.
Yeah, it was on. So he tested. He was on the Mount Clemens repeater and it did it. I tested. I was going into Burnside and it did it.
Yeah, that's the first time I've seen this. So when you had yours, it worked fine, right?
I don't know. I never looked at the dashboard. I don't even know if I ever went into the system, other than through the hotspot.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a PiStar, like a WPSD-based hotspot, I know the information gets all mangled. And I honestly think it's the WPSD software. I don't think it has anything to do with Grandmeister or the way MI5 is set up. I think it's all in the WPSD. Because anybody that comes in through there always has their ID mangled. But if you come, and this is not to knock hotspots, because the open spot, if you come in through the open spot, all the information is correct. So, and I, you know, the only thing I can think of is maybe try the PiStar variant instead of the WPSD, and maybe that would, I would love to see if that still calls you. One of these days, if I get bored, I'll put a SD card in with PiStar instead of WPSD and try it out, but haven't gotten that bored yet.
And I remember that because when I look at the dashboard, like, I can tell who's coming in on a hotspot, and that's why I was like, I wonder if it's just how the dashboard interprets the data being transmitted from the radio, like, as if it was a hotspot, right? Like, it doesn't understand the hotspot. It understands it, but it's not sorting it appropriately. Same with the DM32 or whatever firmware he was on or code plug or whatever. I just thought it was weird that it had all the right info and it just wasn't in the right spot. So I don't know if that's a dashboard thing or a radio thing, but it sounds like if your DM32 is fine, it's probably a radio thing. That ain't deal.
Okay, yes. Yeah, no, I've got two DM32s and they both work decently. And then I've got, you know, I got that, what do you call it, that other one that I got, the Connect Systems one, and then the Anytone. So between all of them, they seem to be working fine. So it's, I don't know. There's probably something, like I said, probably something in the code plug software or something, or maybe his ID was just so new that it was causing issues because he was brand new to DMR, right?
Yeah, I think within the week of us testing, he had gotten his DMR ID. So maybe that's it too, right? It wasn't in the database. But it still showed his call sign, so it was referencing it.
Yeah. Well, if he doesn't want to go with the Bofang, if he wants to try a totally different radio, there's a clone of kind of like the 168, and they're like, you can find them anywhere. I mean, their prices range anywhere between 100 and like 150 or something like that, but those ones are like Anytone, like, or I mean, it's basically an Anytone without the GPS and the all that other stuff. I think it can do roaming and all, you know, it can do all that stuff still. It's just, it's a smaller radio. It's like only five, you know, like probably like a 4-watt radio. They always say 5 watts and they become 4. But if he's, you know, just looking to stay within budget, you could try one of those and then just stay with the Anytone ecosystem.
From my limited experience with EMR, which is Anytone, Redivis, and Motorola, if you're not going to buy a Motorola, just buy an Anytone. I think they do it the best from the amateur side. Speaking of Anytone, you have roaming set up on that, right? But they don't call it roaming?
I'm going to switch back to my Anytone right now. I want to see what the RSSI difference is. No, it's called roaming. It's set up a little wonky, and I use I do roaming once. I don't have it auto roam. I just, like, when I want to roam, I'll click a button, you know, I'll go in the menu and click roaming and say roam once, and it'll do it. It does have automatic roaming, but I don't know if I trust it around here. I mean, it just, like, I don't use it enough in the car, but I know I might be somewhere where I would love to just, like, switch repeaters or whatever and find what's closer. Supposedly it has GPS roaming too, but I haven't messed with that.
So what does it use if you can't set thresholds? Like, how does it work?
We go back to this guy. He has a better RSSI. Hello, test. Oh, okay. Hopefully I'm coming through. Are you talking about the GPS roaming or are you talking about regular roaming?
Regular roaming on the 878. Like, how does that work?
I think it's just RSSI received from the repeater, which, as you know, you can't really use the receive strength of the repeater as kind of a guide. So I'm not sure how IP Connect works. I think your radio sends out a little transmit ping and gets a response back with RSSI, and that's how it determines, I think. I don't know if that's how it works, but it's a very primitive type of roaming. It's just like, oh, this repeater is coming in stronger. But as you know, that's not good because, like, for example, here, 2600 comes in stronger than Mount Clemens for receive, but I'm getting a better signal into Mount Clemens. Interesting that the DM32 has error rates or has losses where the Anytone doesn't. That's a weaker signal. Whatever. I assume you got a phone call, so I'll stand by. KFADS.
Damn, I just talked for like 2 minutes and it didn't transmit or you didn't hear it. Anyway, long story short, the Motorola is like a cell phone, right? So it's got a constant connection with the repeater and that, and then I can set per channel RSSI thresholds for roaming. Or I can just set the roaming group to a set threshold where it's got to be this to do roaming. I was just trying to figure out how the 878 did it because I don't think you can set that. But on that note, I'm pulling into my yard, so I'm going to clear out, and I'll probably be back out in about a half hour, 45 minutes, so I will catch you later. I'll listen out. 10-8 DBF.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Yeah, I have a call at 1, so I may or may not be around, and yeah, the Connect systems works the same way. So, yeah, but Anytone, primitive, but it works, sort of. Talk to you later, KFADS.
KC8MXG, testing new hotspot. K8BCW, Paul, you are getting in just fine. Sound very clear. Nice, good, loud copy there. So, AC8MXG, your ID comes in different than what you have it now, and I get confused. At any rate, thank you for the response. Here, a moment. I want to switch over to direct to the repeater and see if there's a difference in the sound. Is that all right?
You, KC8MXG calling.
K8BCW, hear you not quite as loud, but also very clear.
That's the same experience I had a while back when you were setting up your hotspot. There was a remarkable difference between talking through the hotspot and talking
directly to the local tower. Yours up there, and I guess it's the same thing here. That hotspot just clears everything up. Thank you for your reply. I'm on the Pi Star now, and I also downloaded WPSD, I think it was, and I'm going to try to set that up and plug it in and see if I can get that working. Had a few challenges with that one. Talk to you again later. Thank you so much for your reply. KC8MXG out.
K8BCW.
K8RUH.
K8BCW, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Good. Glad to finally see some spring weather up here in northern Michigan.
Yeah, whereabouts are you?
I'm in Harbor Springs, getting in on my hotspot, but have the Petoskey MI5 tower just across the bay that I can hit when I'm outside.
Ah, okay. I spend a fair amount of time in that area in the winter skiing and have some friends that live up in Harbor Springs.
Oh, yeah, just a couple miles down the road from Nub's Knob in the Highlands.
Very cool, yeah. It's been years ago, I was a season pass holder at Nub's Knob for about 15 years straight, and then married and kids and had about 10 years that I wasn't, and I bought a season pass already this year for next year. So I will be up often next winter.
Oh, that's awesome, man. You missed a good winter this year. The ski resorts did well and had lots and lots of snow. I don't think they had to make quite as much as they had to in recent years.
Yeah, I was actually up on the Saturday before you guys got the big in March and made the very wise decision to get out of town on Saturday evening as opposed to staying and possibly getting stuck for who knows how long. I missed some really good snow on Saturday, not Sunday morning, but Nubs was only open until noon on Sunday, so I made a good decision and went home.
I think I've talked to you before, and you've told me that story, and I congratulated you on getting the heck out of town because we got 3 feet of snow in 48 hours starting on that Sunday. So, yeah, you got out when the getting was good.
Yeah, maybe we have talked before. But, yeah, that was quite the experience. I'm glad to get out of there. So, yeah, I'm glad you guys are getting some good weather and hopefully it's drying up a little bit. I know between the snow melt and the rain a few weeks ago, everybody's in rough shape up there.
Yeah, for sure. it's been a rough couple of years for a lot of folks, some worse than others. But, yeah, we still have standing water. I think the ground might finally be thawing out and getting that water someplace to go. But M119 by Vernale's restaurant, if you know that spot, there's a low spot there. And there's still water across the road. So I don't know how long it's going to take to drain into the lakes.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I know all the rivers, all the rivers are high and finally starting to flush the systems out. I'm gonna be up in Grayling fishing this weekend coming up, and I was worried that the river was just going to be too high to even fish.
Yeah, I haven't gotten a report on the water levels in Grayling on the Ausable, but I'm planning on hitting that hard with my buddy probably late May going into June, and we like to fish the Hex Hatch there, and he just got himself a new drift boat, so looking really forward to this year and doing some nighttime floating.
Oh, that'll be awesome. Yeah, I think it's still high. But it's come way down. Everybody I've talked to said by Friday there'll be like good wadeable areas to fish and a lot of different sections they're saying right now because there is so much water, it moves so much stuff around, that I'm familiar with McMaster's Bridge. Right now, last I heard, that wasn't passable. There was so much debris lodged in the bridge, you couldn't even get a boat through and on the bridge, even though the water levels were permitted.
Oh, wow. I hadn't heard that, but I would expect the guide services and the shops will be getting out there and getting those spots open so that they can get clients on the water. Well, maybe I lost you, Tony. Anyway, safe travels, and I'll be standing by. K8BCW. Yeah, I hope so, too. That's a big tourism draw for that area there, and frankly, Grayling could use every bit of that they can get. So, yeah, I'll ask my buddy about it, see what he knows, and if I hear something back from him and hear you back on here this week, I'll give you an update. But otherwise, have a great trip, and hope that you can catch lots of fish.
KCAKJO from NAWRO Mobile.
KCAKJO, now that's better.
Oh, yes. Much, much, much better. Heading over to MISD. I do have that, I got that table for you if you want it, but I'm not all that sure it's going to work in my vehicle, in my Ford, because something's up with the hotspot. I think it's an old phone that won't recognize the current hotspot that I have, but I still got to drill down into it a little bit.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm going to ask. I'm at Novi and see if I can get down there. If not, maybe I'll meet you afterwards.
Oh, there's, okay, copy that. There's Dean over in 7.2. You don't have VHF in that, do you?
Yeah, I got it, but I'm too far away to hear MAC from where I'm at.
Oh, yeah, that's right. What am I thinking? All right, Tom, safe travels. Again, you know, this is just the set planning, so half of us are probably going to get kicked out at a certain point anyway, so up to you. NAWRO, I'll be clear after you, sir.
All right, sounds good. Maybe I'll see you after the meeting. It's a good thing that you get to get over there, so.
Yeah, certainly that'd work. We'll keep in touch. You got my cell anyways. Don't rush, that's all. So, NAWRO, clear.
73, KCKJO.
NAWRO.
Oh, you're liking this digital stuff, aren't you, KCKJO?
Well, it's usually analog in the morning and digital on the way home.
Yeah, I fluctuate between the two. 4P25, all depends on what radio's got a lot of chatter on it.
Yeah, that'll be next. I haven't spent too much time on eBay, but I plan on picking up a VHF P25 radio.
Yeah, you'll notice the sound quality even better than the MR.
So I've been told, and I've heard snippets of it from Wally, and it sounds pretty darn good. So I just like playing with all the things. But, yeah, I like DMR. It's the convenience of not having to flip through channels and figure out which repeater I can hit is pretty cool. I just went down to my yard in Wayne and back and just roamed between Mount Clemens, Detroit, Novi. So it's convenient for sure.
100%. And usually just not on it, and I can come with a coworker, and we're on the GMRS with it.
How's that been? Did it settle down over there?
Well, we don't necessarily go to, a GMRS channel. We just use, 14 or 10 and talk amongst the both of us. You know, because we're driving all over the place, so we can't hit all the repeaters. It's a pain in the derriere.
I got you. You're using Simplex. Yeah, I mean, that's what GMRS is for. That's perfect.
Yeah, it makes it all the more convenient. You know, I guess especially when we're driving to Petoskey or something like that. You know, we get around a corner, or he gets a little bit ahead of me, you know. We check on each other, especially those long drives.
It's its intended purpose. I used FRS with my wife this weekend in the yard. I was pulling the spreader behind the four-wheeler, and I told her to spot me to make sure it was spreading evenly. And I gave her one of my, what are they called, the little Motorola FRS radios, the talk-abouts.
I don't know, little blister pack things that work great, and then I have my 7550.
Oh, absolutely. I got a box of BPR-40s that I can use if I have to. I just let K8YNU use them for an event. Set up a 16-17 and Clement repeater on them, and they work great for them.
I think that's the first part of that. What kind of radio?
Motorola BPR-40s.
I don't know what those are. Are those older radios, or are they GMRS radios?
Business band GMRS. I can't modify them to make them a UHF ham, so, but they work out just fine for their intended purpose.
Sometimes you don't need much to do what you're trying to do.
100%. He needed like 10 of them. I had 12 operational, but I got like 20 radios. Just the other batteries are kind of on them, so.
Did you buy a lot, or how did you come across those?
Acquired them from a customer of mine. And then I got a box of about 30 Vertex Standard VHF radios sitting in the front room.
I'm assuming those are analog only, though, right?
Yeah, they're all analog, but the Vertex Standard, I can program ham frequencies in there, simplex, stuff like that.
Are they marine radios, or are they amateur VHF?
No, they're business band too, VHF, though, and they work out great.
See, there's my ignorance. I didn't even know there was a business band for VHF.
Yeah, it's like 152-something.
The more you know.
Oh, be right back. Got a phone call. KCKGO.
NATDF.
KTMR.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Not sure how I'm making it in. I'm just heading down to Warren, but I'm on the 878 with a hand mic.
I was going to say, you're on your way down south, and you sound just fine. I would have never known that you were on an HD.
Cool. Yeah, had to stop at Home Depot, Meijer before, and then I thought the game was at 4, but when I looked at the schedule, it said 5, so I already wrapped up what I was doing at the house, so I figured I might as well make my stop at Home Depot, get a couple of things I needed, and head on down, save myself a trip tomorrow.
If you got time, why not? My wife went to Home Depot this morning, so I'm curious to see what I'm going to get home to. She said she wanted to start a project, and I said, great, can't wait.
Oh, no. Do you get hit with the Pinterest ideas also?
Not Pinterest, but I get these brainstorms where she's like, I want to do this. Like, yeah, there's like the landscaping renders I sent you. So I had those rendered up, and then I sent them to her. She goes, yep, I want to do this one. So I have a feeling that's what I'm going to go home to is the start of the landscaping in the front yard. And I know her, and I know she thought that this was going to be a simple task, and I'm sure I'm going to have to help.
Yeah, it's always fun. I usually get the whole, hey, I saw this on Pinterest, and I'll get the, you know, the text or whatever, the picture, and she's like, oh, I was thinking I could do this, and then it ends up, you know, her trying, and then me ended up, you know, another project to add to my list.
Yep, that's on par. I remember our old house, so we bought it, and it was like a time capsule from the 50s, and it was very often I would get home from work to a room completely destroyed or her ripping out carpet or you name it, landscaping, and I'm like, dude, can you just breathe? Like, I'll help you, but I don't want to do it at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, it's like, just want to get home and sit down for a minute. But, I don't know, I'm almost there. I've been like, go, go, go for the last, I don't know, it seems like week or two. I got all the mulch finally down and got that pond pumped out. That thing works great, by the way. And then just started putting a few more of those grasses in because I split a bunch and I got them just laying behind the barn. So I figured I'll put a few more in so they don't end up just dying sitting there. And that's it.
Yeah, you've been busy the last few weeks with your 150 bags of mulch, but I'm glad that pump worked good. How long did it take to get it down to where you needed it? I told you, man, that thing eats.
Yeah, I'm trying to, I wasn't really totally paying attention. Maybe, I'm going to guess maybe a couple hours, maybe. Whatever gas you had in there, I ran that out when I filled it up, and I was kind of like just watching where I was filling it because I didn't have any Rec 90, and I figured, I wanted to use it all up. But, I got it down, and I'm like, well, I'm going to keep going until it runs out, and that way everything's dry and clean. And so, I don't know, a couple hours maybe, but it would have took me forever with that other pump.
Well, I appreciate you running it out. I don't do that to be, one of those guys who's like, oh, no, my motors only get this. But all my small stuff, my mower, man, I just, for the last ever, since I became a homeowner, I've always put rec fuel in it. And I'll tell you what, every spring or any time I need to use my chainsaws, my weed whackers, my blowers, my mowers, the pumps, they just fire right up. But for context, that tank is a little less than a gallon, and it'll run about 3 hours. So I think I probably had, maybe a third tank in there, maybe a little bit more. So you probably ran it for 4 or 5 hours.
Okay, yeah, I would say, three-ish hours maybe. I didn't think anything of it. I know what you're saying with the Rec 90. I have a, especially anything from Harbor Freight, not that it's bad, but I try to keep those from gumming up and all that. So usually I have Rec 90 laying there, and I didn't. So I'm like, well, I'm only putting a little bit in there, and I'm like, I'm just going to, I didn't fill it all the way up. I kind of was watching it, adding a little as I needed, but just so I was able to run it dry. But, yeah, that thing's pretty nice.
Well, either way, good deal. It is yours anytime you want to use it. So just hit me up. I got to figure out where I'm going to put it now in my clean, organized garage.
Yeah, no, I definitely appreciate it. I got out there like first thing this morning, got it all set up, and started running it, and then just kind of did other stuff and kept an eye on it, and I got your hose all wrapped back up nicely for you. So I'll get it to you in the next couple of days unless you need it sooner.
Absolutely, no rush. Whenever you're feeling like dropping it off, feel free. I can either open the garage for you if I'm not home or whatever. No big deal. I don't think I'm going to need it anytime soon, thankfully. And appreciate the hose too, man. I dropped like three times, and I could never, ever, I don't know if I just didn't have the patience or what, but, man, it was frustrating.
Track two, I want to say it might be the same thread. I'll have to double check, but if you need any extra hose, we have didn't pass our testing at work fire hose, but there's nothing wrong with it, especially for a discharge. But if you need some extra or whatever, I can grab a few rolls of them. I think we got a couple 50-footers maybe.
Oh, if you have a 50-footer, that would be money. So that pump came with a, for the discharge, it came with a 2-inch with the barb on it and clamps. So you can get any hose and just slide it right on. But, yeah, if you've got a 2-inch hose that'll fit on there or just the hose, I could cut it and clamp it, that would be amazing because I bought that 100-footer thinking I was going to use it. Most of the time I was running that pump, it was like, I needed a 10-foot discharge hose.
All right, yeah, I'll grab, we got a few of them that are bad at work. They're just laying there. We're just going to toss them, but I'll grab what we have, and then you can cut them and do whatever you need to them. So if you want to make a 10-footer, 20-footer, whatever, make a couple different sizes.
I would greatly appreciate that. He's got to throw in a free lesson of how to wind them up so they pack away nicely.
Yeah, I think the main thing is you just got to walk them out and get all the water out of there. And then they usually roll up pretty easy once you get it started.
I think that was my problem. I was just, trying to reel it in like I would a hose. I was just, I don't know. Like I said, I don't think I was patient enough. I was just kind of winding it up. And then it got to a certain point, about the point you picked it up at, where there was some of it rolled and the rest of it wasn't. And I said, okay, I'm done. Just threw it at the trailer and dragged it back to the house. But Yeah, I don't think at any point I will need that 100-footer, so that'll be nice to just have on this. Actually, I'm trying to think. No, I'll hang on to it, but, yeah, I don't think I'm going to need that. Honestly, a 25-foot discharge hose would be plenty.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you actually had that 100-footer, because it was just enough. It got me all the way to the back, to the ditch out by the field. So it was kind of like just enough out of the yard. Because the other one I had, it was pumping in the back, but I think it just got, you know, coming towards me. It was basically flooding the back part of the yard. But this one, I was able to get it all the way back to the ditch, so that was nice.
Well, good. I'm glad it worked out for you. Like I said, I used like a tenth of that 100-foot hose. But so what were you using for that? That was just like a electric 3/4 horse trash pump?
Yeah, basically, I think it was basically like a just like a little cast iron sump pump. It worked good. I mean, I had the pool hose on it, so it was discharging good. It just wasn't, you know, I would have been there forever. And, you know, I had to have it plugged into the generator because I didn't have any plugs out there. So this one was, yours is able to push a lot more volume, so that definitely helped.
Before I bought that, I had tried my dad's. He's got like a 3/4 horse sump or a half horse sump, but it had a fitting on it for just a regular garden hose, and I did it for like, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours, and I went out there, and it looked like nothing moved, and I'm like, I'm just going to rack up my electric bill for no reason. So the next time I needed one, I just bit the bullet, went and bought one. And I'm glad I did. The thing's great. I think I'm going to take that wheel kit off. They're kind of janky, and I'm going to see if I can return them since they're basically just falling apart, but other than that, I'm happy with it.
Oh, that's a separate kit you had to buy for it? It didn't come with those wheels?
Yeah, it's a Harbor Freight wheel kit for, I forgot what model pump. It's got like a 1-inch pump, my 2-inch pump. I don't know if those go on the 3-inch pump or not. I think they might. But it was $50, came with the wheels and the handle. Well, the first time I ran it, half the screws backed out, even though they had lock washers. And then the one bracket for the left tire broke. So it was just a huge waste of money, essentially, because I drag it to where I need to in the four-wheeler, and then when I pack it up, I put it on the four-wheeler, so I don't even know why I bothered.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, hit or miss with Harbor Freight. You know, it's like an inverter generator. I think it's like a 3500. Generator works great. I had to do a few mods to it because I didn't have a good airflow or anything. But a couple of YouTube videos showed you that. But the wheels on it are horrible. They're like a 2-inch little plastic wheel, and the generator is heavy. So I'm like, man, you know, everything's good about this, except there's...
I mean, you can definitely see where they cut corners, and as frustrating as it is, I'd rather have them cut those corners than some of the other ones that they could be cutting. Like, those Predator motors are amazing. I wouldn't, you know, they're no Honda, but for what they are, like, the motor in that generator is only $150 if I were to buy it. It's a 6.5-horse motor. It's, like, unheard of, and it works. Like, did you pull one time and it started? I mean, they just make decent stuff. But, yeah, that's where they get cheap is the accessories. And I wish I would have known when I bought my Champion. Granted, this side I didn't have a choice. I went to Traction Supply because, of course, we had just moved in. We were out of power. But I went to Traction Supply and bought the biggest Champion they had in stock. But for the same or less money, I think I could have got, instead of the $7,500 I got, I could have got a $10,000 from Harbor Freight.
Yeah, I've had zero complaints on that generator from them. You know, I just kind of follow the instructions. You know, they say, I do use ref fuel for that, or a higher octane, but they specify, like, make sure every time you fill it up, they want you to mix, like, some seafoam in it, and, you know, run it like that, and then you got to run it, like, I don't know, so many, you know, like, once a month or whatever, you know, and I've been kind of doing it, and I'll just let it run for a little bit, and, you know, knock on wood. The only thing that's gone bad with it is the battery, but it's got a pole start anyways. And so when I use it, I mean, it usually starts up as it's been sitting all year, you know, two poles maybe, and it fires right up. So I'm like, I'm not going to spend you know, the price of batteries nowadays, I'm like, I'll just, you know, pull it a couple of times, but it's been really good, and it's super quiet, too, so we, you know, for camping, it's really good.
That is a nice generator. I wish I had some of the, I wish mine was that quiet, but it is what it is. Just don't go in the garage when it's running. Plus, what I paid for it, I can't complain. I just wish I had the tri-fuel, which I think I'm going to have. Sean and I have talked about that, because I'm going to put a space heater in the garage, and my gas is right there. So when I have them run that gas line, I'm going to have them put a tap for the generator right there. So then I literally, all I have to do is wheel it out, hook it up, and then plug it into the house, and it's as quick and as easy as I can get. Because that was the frustrating part was we had, I think it was a two-day outage where I had to go get gas constantly. I just have the 2 5-gallons for rec fuel. And when you're running on rec fuel, that stuff adds up quick. It's up to $5.50 a gallon. So fortunately, the generator is efficient, but, you know, if you're out long enough, you're still filling it up a couple times.
Yep, I think I lost signal for a minute. I said you can't win. You're spending extra money on the rec fuel, and, you know, you're spending a fortune, or you buy the cheaper fuel, and then it, you know, screws up all the carburetors and gums everything up.
Yeah, I learned my lesson a long time ago. I had, like, a chainsaw that just basically died. I would have had to rebuild the whole thing because of the stupid rec fuel. The carb was destroyed. And then my dad had my old, that red four-wheeler. He gave it to me because I had to take the whole thing apart, replace all the fuel lines, rebuild the car, because you let it sit with regular gas in it. I'm like, dude, you cannot do that. And he still does it to his other four-wheeler, too, and guess what's leaking gas. So I just said, you know what, for the little bit more cost or a lot of it more, however you want to look at it, the peace of mind and convenience of not having to MF something to get it running, to me, it's worth it.
Yep, I agree 100%. I had the same conversation with my dad. He was constantly, every couple of years, he just ended up throwing weed whackers out because he was so done with them. And I'm like, man, it's, you know, it's more expensive, but it's not that bad if you're just running a weed whacker with it, you know. I don't know if I would do, like, a riding mower, you know, but make sure maybe, you know, the end of the season run some good stuff in there. But just for weed whackers and little stuff, it's like, you know, you can't beat it. Because you don't have to screw around with all the problems, you know, when you go to fire it back up in the spring.
I remember watching my dad throw his weed whacker so many times because in the spring it wouldn't start, and I just laugh. I'm like, dude, what do you think's going to happen? So still doesn't listen, though. Puts regular gas and all this crap and fights it every spring. But I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, man, I don't want to fill up my mower. I mean, if I cut my grass once a week, that's like half a tank. So every 2 weeks, I'm going to be putting like $30 worth of gas in my mower. It's like, is it really worth it? Or should I just get, like, I don't know, premium doesn't matter either. It's the same concept. It's got ethanol in it. So that's my internal debate right now. But fortunately and unfortunately, I don't have enough grass to worry about it.
Okay, TMR. Yeah, my, you know, the guys at work were kind of telling them kind of what they do, too. They just use regular mowers all season and then kind of judge it by, like, the last cut, they think. They'll dump, you know, buy, top it off with a rec fuel, and then, you know, that'll sit all winter. So when they fire it up in the spring, it's no problem. And that way you're only filling it up one time with the rec fuel. But, yeah, my dad's, I don't know, it's like a lost cause of him. He thinks when you buy this stuff, you don't have to change oil or do anything, and it's just supposed to last forever. And unfortunately, he found out the hard way that, you know, you kind of got to change the oil or put oil in it.
That ain't DBF. Yeah, I'm at that point with pretty much all my stuff, too. I got to do the first oil change on the mower because it's got enough hours on it now. I got to do the first oil change on my generator because it's got enough hours on it now. And then now I got to do an oil change on that trash pump. So I'll probably do that here soon. But, yeah, you got to take care of your stuff and take care of you.
Yep, exactly. So, well, on that note, I'm getting ready to pull in here. I'm going to try to get in and get a seat. So I will, I don't know, I'll probably jump back on after the game, see if you're on or if anyone's up and listening. So I will talk to you later on. KTMR.
All right, man, sounds good. Enjoy the game, and maybe I'll catch you later. N8 DBF.
That's why I sometimes like two cycle. it's not that stable in it. KCKJL.
Yeah, my chainsaws usually do okay, but again, that's even when I wasn't using rec fuel in them, I was still putting stabilizer in them. I was putting Lucas in them. But I actually have, you know what, that reminds me, I got two chainsaws I think I'm going to sell because they're leaking bar oil all over my shelf, and I don't have a tree within a mile.
Yeah, I think I got to reattach my chain to mine. So I let the neighborhood kid use it to cut down the trees in my backyard, and he actually bought a new chain and a bar for it, but then it came off, and so I got to go put that back on. Project today, though, is getting a new lawnmower blade.
Yeah, I just got my chains back from the lumberjack shack, and I haven't even pulled them out of the box. Hopefully they're my chains, because that was about 2 months ago. And, yeah, I don't like the lawnmower blade thing. Do you jack it up, or do you drop it back and pull it out?
Well, considering that it's just a 21-inch walking or push mower, I tip it on its side.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay. Hit it with an impact and pull the thing off.
No, I just got a socket set. Stick, you know, disconnect the spark plug and stick a screwdriver in so it doesn't move, and then just take the blade off. Old school.
Hey, as long as you get to the same result, it doesn't matter how you do it.
Yeah, I don't know what my wife hit, but she bent the corner of the, or she bent one end of the blade off, and she said, oh, it's running kind of rough. You know, when I cut the grass last week, I'm like, and then I started it up after I put a new drive belt bar on it. I started up, the thing starts to fall to pieces. I'm like, what the heck is this? Look underneath, and it's got a bent piece on it. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Mowers don't like it stuff. I remember my old mower. It was, what was it? It was a John Deere Z345R 42-inch zero-turn mower. I sold it to my buddy for his farm because I bought a bigger one when we moved. And he was on it, I'm not kidding you, for 30 seconds at his farm. He hit some giant piece of wood. It lodged in between the two blades, stalled the motor. We had to take the whole back off and pull it out.
You know, I'm thinking she hit one of the old clothesline posts or a stump, one of the two. And because she's the only one that cuts the grass. I said, you hit something. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. I mean, okay, it just fell apart on all its own then, right?
Hey, at least you got her cutting the grass. Mine was yelling because we got our septic field obviously has plenty of nutrients. So the grass was just very long, thick, and luscious there in this, like, 10-foot swath, probably, like, I don't know, 50 feet. She's easy to go cut that. I'm like, Morris, right there. Jump on. It's going to take 2 seconds. I'm cleaning out the garage because we organized the garage this weekend. She goes, that's not my job. So I had to stop what I was doing, get on the mower, and go cut the grass.
No, she likes cutting the grass. Me, it's, you know, with my allergies, I just, if I cut the grass, and then that's it, I'm done for the day. Severe headaches and can't breathe, so she does it, which is perfectly fine with me.
Well, that is very nice of her, because I have the same issue. I cut the grass, and then I'm all, eyes are puffy, I'm runny nose. Granted, most of it's dust, so that's probably why, but mine does not want to run the mower.
No, she just does not like the weed whip, so I'll do that. And I got to, and she's like, I want this type of weed whip, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, so I buy her one that's got the curved shaft on it, and, you know, she can get underneath the picnic table and everything else, but she can't start it, and then she gets all upset. I'm like, whatever. So I'll do that. I don't do it all that often, but I do it.
You know, I bullied my buddies forever because they said they wanted electric weed whackers. And then for Father's Day, I don't know, a couple years ago, my wife got me the Makita blower and weed whacker 18-volt combo. And I'll tell you what, I've never looked back with the electric weed whacker and blower. Granted, I don't use that blower for, like, leaves, but just blowing off grass clippings in the driveway and whatever, and the blowing off garage works great. But the weed whacker has been phenomenal. I slap a battery in it, I hit the power button, I'm on my way.
Well, I only have one power outlet for the whole house, you know, outside. And knowing my wife, she's running over or something else like that. So, you know, I got the gas one, and it works. I mean, it's a nice little Poulan, and it works just fine. No way, it's not a Poulan. It's not a skill. Oh, it might be a Poulan. I don't know. It's orange and white.
No, I'm talking like an 18-volt battery, not a corded one. No, I've seen those. I remember my old house, a bunch of older neighbors had those things. They're dragging extension cords around their yards.
Yeah, maybe I'll get an 18-volt one or something like that. Maybe she'll start weed whacking, too. I mean, last time I showed her how to use it, I was going two pieces of whip like none other.
That is one thing I can get my wife to do, is she will weed whack because it's easy. But same thing, I usually have to restring it for her about once a month, maybe, every other week.
Yeah, I got the ones with a little, I bought the spool from the other weed whipper, and that one died a miserable death. So I have this one that you get sticks, and you stick it through this little latch in the hole. But the whole bag of those is expensive. I got all this other whip that's just hanging around, so I just shove it in there and stretch it out, cut it to length, works the same way. I still got a whole spool left, so not going to need to buy something for a while. If you want to jump over to UHF, Lance is over there, ABAY, KCKGO.
Yeah, I can jump over there for the last little bit of my ride here. I got a couple of minutes at ADDF.
KCKGO.
KF8ETQ. KF8ETQ. WARAT.
Hello, test. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, 7, 8. Testing. 6WY. Testing.
KARUH, you're sounding pretty good.
KARUH, I believe the call was. I didn't see your ID come up, but thank you for the call. We're trying to hit the Detroit Theater from Birmingham's Starbucks. I've got 890, on 890 here, and we're trying to make it work. Is it working?
Yeah, that was KARUH, and yes, it is working. You're sounding very good. That's a long haul with MC. That's a good testament to how strong some of these repeaters are locally. That's great.
Yeah, I just have a test cold plug in here and don't have everything loaded, but thank you for the report. And you sound great also, so I'm surprised it's working.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm in my car on HT in Grosse Pointe Woods hitting the Detroit repeater. So, same repeater, just a whole lot closer than you are.
Okay, again, thank you. Yeah, we got the 2890s there, and used one as a test standard, and my new one here. And I had a heck of a time getting it work. Well, it would happen occasionally, it would just drop. So far, it hasn't dropped from the repeater. It looks like it's still working. You know, it looks like my thumb falls off to push the top, but it doesn't. But I'm holding it down quite hard, and, again, thanks for the card. KEH. Again, I don't have any information on IDs in here. I forgot your call again. Give me it one more time, and I'll write it down. K-E-8-R something, I forgot.
It was K-E-8-R-U-8. And no problem. Have a good evening, and enjoy your late afternoon coffee. We'll talk to you soon. I'll be clear.
Okay, I got it. K-E-8-R-U-8. I'm sure I will talk to you again. I think I talked to you once before. So 73, and again, thanks for the report. This is in 6WY. This is KC8MXG calling. 106WY, this is KC8MXG calling. 2B, this is KC8MXG calling KZ2B. 106WY, this is KC8MXG calling N6WY. Call letters, but this is November 6th, Whiskey Yankee. I'm in kind of a noisy restaurant here, Starbucks. Go ahead.
Paul, you still working on that hotspot? I see Simo conjuncted, or Muhammad conjunct the repeater once or twice, too. Go ahead.
Still working on the hotspot here, and Simo's here, but, I'm going direct right to the repeater right now, and maybe I do have, MI5, programmed in my handy talkie for, it goes to the hotspot. Yeah, I got the hotspot
Rainmeister cover in my handy dokey, and I can change zones and probably try that, see if it works. Would you stand by for a minute?
I couldn't raise you talking through the Novi repeater. It should have got you unless you were off the air at that point in time. I'm on the Detroit repeater right now, but go ahead. I'll stand by.
I'm going to go to the hotspot now. In 6WA again, going through Detroit. I forgot. We changed the frequency in the hotspot, and my cold plug no longer matches the hotspot we're using. You copy me? That's where my hotspot is. No, no, that's where my Rainmeister is, but my hotspot is not. So, we kind of got things all messed up here trying to get things to work. So I will try again later. Your call sign again?
8MXG. It's Paul.
Okay, E8MXG. This is in 6WY. Well, thanks again for the report, and talk to you later. And 6WY's listening.
MXG, clear.
KE8WOJ, standing by on statewide one.
AC8MXG listening on hotspot.
AC8MXG, this is November 6 Whiskey Yankee on M59.
I must be heading home.
MXG, I think, Paul, I just went under a low spot. I'm stuck in traffic, but we're moving now, but in 2 minutes I'll be at the top of the hill. Maybe you can copy me better.
N6WY, are you on automatic, or are you manually switching your finding a repeater? Go ahead.
I just came up on top of the hill here, so you might hear me a lot better. No, I'm not automatic. I think I should be on statewide one. I'm not claiming this repeater right now.
Going back up north, I had my BTEC 6X2 set to automatic. It worked, but not as well as I would like it to. I was getting a lot of beeps that the repeater was out of range and stuff like that. It connected and then disconnected, and then when I got to the bridge, it connected a little bit, and I was talking to an amateur in Harbor Springs, and he got back to me on a regular basis. When I got to Sault Ste. Marie, there was supposed to be a repeater there, and I should have been right under it, and I got nothing. So these repeaters are iffy and sometimes, I think. Go ahead.
Well, I haven't set this up for, thank you, Tesla. Got to keep my eyes on the road. I have not set this thing up for roaming, and I know my high tier works very well in roaming. I had no problem with it. So I don't know what happened. Maybe Sault Ste. Marie repeaters wasn't working at that time or something.
I think that you have your hotspot, you have that worked out now with Mom. I guess he uses the name Simo. Worked out, and everything's working with it now, I take it.
I don't know why he did, but yes, everything is working, and I'm going to try it, see if it works at home. You know, I got two hotspots from him. I'm going to set up the other one. He recommended different frequencies than what I'm using. He also wants to use one DMR ID, which I find unacceptable, but I'm going to try it with two DMR IDs. See if it works. But, yeah, I think he got it all set up.
That's good news. I know I took a few hours to get mine working right. Once I was satisfied, I downloaded the WPSD software, and that's taken me a day and a half to get it working right. And that's what I'm talking to you through on his top spot with what was WPSC. They said they would send me, I could get it either way, but they preferred to do it with PiStar. But so many people have said this WPSD is good software and it updates on a regular basis. I decided to try it, and it seems to be okay.
I have two hotspots I bought from SEMO, and the one at home, which I have stuck to the wall, is WPSD, and it seems to be working okay with my 878, but I could never get to work with the 890. It works great with the 878. And now I'm going home later tonight. I'm going to try it with the 890, see if I can get it to work. One thing he said that the lower frequencies for the hotspots work better than the ones for the amateur repeaters. They are optimized for some, you know, like 433 and 439 frequencies, round numbers. And so I'm going to change that one at home that I got stuck to the wall, the one running WPSD, to the lower frequencies and see if it works all right with the 890.
Model did you get? Which model repeaters did you get? The same one? I guess they call it the Ultra. There's one even better than, for lack of a better term, the $139 one or the $169 one?
I got both, the $169 one with the both cards. You gave me, for $10 extra, I could got the other card loaded with a PiStar. Now, that's something I could do myself. I didn't have a card. I would have to go to a micro center or someplace and buy a card, a little micro SD card. So I got, I can go either way on that $169 one. The other one is next to the bottom of the line. Maybe the bottom of the line, I don't know, the one that we worked on today, and that has only PiStar for it.
I have the $139 one, and it works with PiStar, and it works fine with WPSD. I think there's one even less expensive that he has, but, you know, either way. I'd like to try my hand at building one next and use a Raspberry Pi 5 or 3 or something faster than the 021 that they have it on.
I know what you mean, but the Pi 02W is a big improvement over the straight Pi 0. I got one home one. I paid a lot of money for it. The brand name is Power Finder. And it just has a plain PiStar in it, PiStar W. And man, is that one slow. So, it's the PiStar makes a big difference on the upper flow. I don't know what they call it, but the $169 one.
Next one, I think, either from him or build one myself, get a hat from some source and build one myself and see what happens. That's what I'd like to try. It just keep me busy and keep me out of trouble.
I have another one that the Pi Zero failed. I keep forgetting about it. It's just a single, not duplex. And I had essentially taken it all apart and saved the MDVN board. Went to Micro Center, bought a new Pi 02, and it works great. But because it's simplex, I didn't ever think about using it.
When you had conversation with SEMO, what does he really do for a living? He has an interesting background. Go ahead.
He's retired from Chrysler.
And while he's doing an amp for a living, he's trying to start up a business. He doesn't know if he's going to make it, you know, a full-time job or not. He's also fixing it. He's got a fixer up a house up north, and that's taking some of his time. So I guess he's got some other things on the side, but he builds some medical equipment occasionally, little circuit boards that he, you know, makes a bigger order of and then sell them. It's like a board CD design. So, I don't know what he's doing now.
Probably give him a call and chat with him in a day or so and see what he's got to say. And I know he is building some property or fixing up some property in Petoskey. And we shared some information about that. At any rate, drive carefully, get home. And I'll probably be off this for a while now, but tomorrow I'll be listening for you to see if they're all working. Go ahead.
I'm just pulling in my subdivision. Hopefully I didn't push the talk to the moon, and you got me. So I'm 673s, and I'll tell you the update later. This is in 671. Next sheet. Clear. Thank you. I don't know if you turned up the reader or not, but Chemo didn't hear that you were talking to me. I explained later that you were the guy that just bought the hotspot from him. And so he, anyway, he now knows that we were talking there in Starbucks. 73-86-WS clear.
Got that. Clear. Bye.
AWOJ, stand by, skip 1.